Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room. We'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. A lot of people wrote to me saying this is the beginning of the new era. This is the start of the Triple H, Stephanie McMahon era in the WWE. And I know that on the surface, that's exactly how it does feel. And there are definitely some changes that happened last night that we should talk about and we will talk about. But a lot of people also wrote me to say that apparently Vince Russo had written saying he didn't want fans to make fools out of themselves by saying, oh, see, the show is so different, and the show is now in Triple H's hands, and his opinion is that Vince McMahon is still running everything. So let me address that first and just say, here's why I think Vince Russo is probably wrong. He's half right, but he's not completely right. Do I think Vince McMahon washed his hands of the entire WWE as a business? Hell no. And if you think that, you really better reconsider. This man did not just give up his business, walk away. Did he sell all of his shares, did he? No. If you think business decisions are not being run through Vince McMahon, you're crazy. Absolutely crazy. But those are behind-the-scenes business decisions. Do I believe Vince McMahon gave up the creative? To a large extent, yes, I do. I think Vince McMahon just realized, look, I'm not going to be there, and if I can't be there, I'm not going to micromanage everything, because Vince McMahon was a micromanager. I'm not going to keep ripping up the scripts, changing this, changing that, because I'm not going to be there. So if there are decisions to be made that involves the business as a business, certainly I want it run through me. If it just involves who's winning, who's losing, who's getting pushed and who's not getting pushed, what script is going through and what script isn't going through, that's what I think he washed his hands of. And I think last night some of that showed. Now, we started off with the news that apparently if Vince McMahon was in charge, Becky Lynch was not going to turn face at SummerSlam. This apparently was a Triple H decision. It was a good decision. And Becky Lynch came to the ring, unfortunately got injured in the match. That's a legit injury. I don't know how long she's going to be out. But said almost verbatim what we said she should have said when she turned face. That when she came back, that urge to get right back to the top was overwhelming. She went a little crazy. She lost her way. And finally realized upon losing to Bianca Belair, it's not the clothes, it's not the attitude, it's not the bending of the rules that made her who she was. It was just her determination. While she is out recovering, gain a few pounds. It was the best speech Becky Lynch has given in a long time, because this phony nonsense that she was spouting that was not going over with the fans at all was simply annoying the fans. It reminded me of when they turned Stone Cold Steve Austin heel. And he said, there's no heat. The fans are just annoyed. They're annoyed because you've taken away something that they wanted, and what they wanted was to root for Steve Austin. But the real Steve Austin, not the Steve Austin who was a coward and not the Steve Austin who was kissing Vince's ass and singing Kumbaya. They wanted the real Stone Cold Steve Austin. Well, fans wanted the real Becky Lynch. And I think the tease that we're going to get the real Becky Lynch is a good one. Now, Bianca Belair came down. They had their moment. And Becky left the ring, only to be jumped by Control, which, of course, is Bayley, Dakota Kai, and I guess we're going to call her Sky now. Whatever. Truthfully, that's another thing that is a throwback to the Vince McMahon era, this changing of names for no actual reason or just using one name. I see that hasn't changed. We don't see Tommaso Ciampa. We see Ciampa. So, you know, there's still a little bit of that hanging on. But anyway, she gets jumped backstage. By the time Bianca Belair gets there, the damage is done. But basically, it sets up for a match later on in the night. So, a pretty good opening. We have Becky Lynch who, listen, this, in a way, this couldn't have happened at a better time. I don't root for anybody to get injured. But Becky Lynch turning face and then having to go away for a while so you forget all the stupid things she did as a heel isn't the worst thing in the world. It's not the worst thing in the world. It gives you some time to forget those things, so when she comes back, she's much easier to root for as a heel than remembering the stupid outfits and the ridiculous banter and the nonsense. And, you know, sometimes if you do that from one show to another, it's like, wow, what an extreme change overnight. This way, we get a little time to breathe, Mike, so might not be the worst timing.
Yes, we get a little bit tired of it, man. And yeah, that whole Io Sky thing. And really, if you go back and you watch it, Corey Graves made the mistake of calling her by her own name.
Yeah, a couple times. Then he just started calling her Io because he knew he couldn't do it. That's silly, Mike. I mean, just let her be Io Shirai. Why is she Io Sky? I mean, I don't get that. I just don't get that. But it was a pretty good opening, Todd, I thought.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Yeah, like you said, that was a pretty good opening right there when Becky Lynch came out and gave her a speech. And a couple minutes later, Bianca Belair comes out and says, at SummerSlam, we put on a hell of a match. You're just not the person. You're the man. That's what she said.
Yeah, and look, the bottom line is, we're going to need Becky as a face, especially if Ronda is indeed turning heel. I know it's not the same program, but it doesn't matter. The women's division is the women's division. We need some equality as far as the faces and heels. Charlotte's going to be coming back. She's going to be a heel. So we're going to need that. We then jump right into this interesting sort of a thing where they're saying we're going to have 2 3-way matches tonight. The winner of each one of those 3-way matches is going to fight each other later, and the winner of that gets to fight Bobby Lashley next week for the U.S. Championship. Once again, I do not think that's a Vince McMahon thing, because the U.S. Championship was given a lot of time. They did that nice promotion with JBL, talking about how many prestigious people have held it. They had the interview with Bobby Lashley, saying how proud he was to represent. And the interesting thing is they have AJ Styles, who is absolutely one of the top contenders in there. The Miz, who probably isn't, but is underutilized when it comes to the title picture, so it's good to have him in there. And then Mustafa Ali reappears out of nowhere for an actual shot at a championship. So this, again, I think, is indicative more of the Triple H planning, where you say, look, we're going to throw in Mustafa Ali in there to get him in the mix. He's no longer some guy who comes out and gets squashed or he's at catering lunch and other people wrestle. He's in the mix. And The Miz is in the mix in a title picture. AJ Styles ultimately wins that match. That was an excellent match. Once again, for people who say The Miz can't wrestle, The Miz can wrestle fine. Ali was fine. AJ Styles was extremely good. The finish of that match was incredible, with AJ Styles literally catching Mustafa Ali in midair, turning it into a Styles Clash on The Miz for the three count. If there's only one problem with this, it's that looking at the other three-way dance, I could already tell who was going to win. That was pretty obvious after AJ wins the first one. But that's a small point, because we're going to get to see AJ Styles and Ciampa, and you know that's going to be a great match. So I wasn't that annoyed by it, Mike, but, you know, these things, unfortunately, in wrestling now are, for the most part, pretty predictable.
Yeah, those things are pretty predictable. And look, AJ Styles continues to prove why he is the best wrestler in the world, regardless of company, regardless of promotion. He is the best wrestler in the world. I mean, when you can do what he did, right, and what we saw what he did, right, he took the Styles Clash, he turned that thing into a Styles Clash and basically won that match, you know. And
yeah,
I mean,
it was a great match.
I mean, look, he may be 45 years old, but he's still at the top of his game.
Well, there's no question about that, because he's hanging with Mustafa Ali, who was way, way younger, and he wasn't missing a beat. The that tornado DDT he took on the outside of the ring from Ali, amazing. Amazing. Some really good spots in this match. Now, the very first thing I noticed, since this was first match up, is they gave it plenty of time. They didn't try to get these matches into, like, you got 5 minutes, hurry up and get your moves in and go to the next thing. It felt like a real match. It felt like we were watching a shorter pay-per-view. Not much shorter, but somewhat shorter pay-per-view. And the feel was that the gloves were off. I saw some moves last night that I said, hey, I don't know if they do this. I don't know if they do this. A few weeks ago. I doubt it. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's the way it felt to me. It felt as though they took some of the gloves off here, which is a good thing. Let's see. We now get to Seth Rollins gets into the ring. Mouths off a little bit about Riddle. At least they sold Riddle. He's not around, which is good. The Street Profits come down, and they mouth off a little. Seth Rollins says, well, if you want to pick one of the two of you, I'll fight you. If you noticed, and not too many people did, when the Street Profits did the rock, paper, scissors thing to decide who was going to fight Seth Rollins, Montez Ford cheated. I really think him not winning the tag team titles, him becoming disgruntled with his career in general, I think it's going to be Montez Ford who turns. I really do. I think Montez Ford is on his way to a heel turn and a solo career. He'll have to get by Dawkins first, which he will. But I really think that's the way it's going to go. These two put on a very, very, very solid match. And once again, do you really think we're going to get Montez Ford against Seth Rollins? I don't see that. And if we did, are we going to get this back and forth where it was a really hard-fought match? I can see the objective behind the match. The objective behind the match is, and the announcers played it off perfectly, is to show Montez Ford is a tag team wrestler. He has spent most of his career in tag teams, very few solo matches. Even with that handicap of not having someone to tag, he came very, very close to pinning Seth Rollins, who's one of the top guys in this federation. Meaning, if he concentrated a little bit more on his solo career, he could be just as good, if not better, than Seth Rollins. That's what the announcers was trying to get through. Now, he lost, but the loss is blamed on, well, Seth Rollins is a solo wrestler. Montez Ford is used to that tag out. He doesn't have Dawkins to tag out to now. In fact, Corey Graves said at one point, here's the point in the match where Montez Ford wishes he had Dawkins to tag out to, but there's nobody there. He gets into the deep water now because this is one-on-one. That's how they played off that loss, so that Montez Ford comes away looking better than you would have thought. In other words, the announcers are playing it down, saying, look, this is a tag team guy. He's not going to come close to beating Seth Rollins because he's just not a solo wrestler. Oh, he did come close to beating Seth Rollins 6 times? Well, that's amazing. What an amazing athlete, considering he has that handicap of not having wrestled a bunch of solo matches. That's what they tried to get over. So last night, even though Seth Rollins wins and gets a much-needed victory, they also pushed Montez Ford in a real manner by saying he's far, far better than we thought he was, even as a solo performer. You noticed that, right, Mike? They said that about 6 times.
Absolutely. You know, and that's the thing. And look, you've speculated on which one should or shouldn't be, you know, turned heel, but obviously they made the decision. You know, the decision is, of course, Montez Ford, right? So, and that's the thing. Think about it. As Vince was going through, Vince was moving forward, but it seemed like he couldn't make. It seemed like decisions weren't getting made, right? In terms of different guys. Now we see, okay, fine. Triple H and Stephanie are in charge or whatever. Now we see there's a decision that's been made about Montez Ford to do something with him, you know, and obviously the decision's been made, right?
I think the decision has been made, but even if Montez Ford ends up the face, what you got last night was a sample of them saying, oh, wow, we didn't think Montez Ford would be this good as a solo worker. He really surprised us. He almost beat Seth Rollins. That was kind of the objective of this match, is to get Montez Ford over as a guy who, with just a few more solo matches under his belt, could rise to the occasion and be a top, top guy. They did that, and at the same time gave Seth Rollins the victory. So this was an excellent match, Todd, and it accomplished a few different things.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, when that match with Montez Ford and Seth Rollins last night, they are teasing that heel turn down the road. They are teasing that with Montez turning heel.
Yeah, I think so too. They could surprise me, and it could be Dawkins, but I had a feeling it's not. Anyway, we then get Asuka and Alexa Bliss, which I say to myself, this is going to be interesting. I'm not sure who they're going to let win because, of course, they're trying to push Alexa Bliss and certainly trying to push Asuka. So this will be interesting, and I really didn't see Control jumping them in the middle of the match. Surprisingly, I didn't see it because I thought, well, their feud's going to be with Bianca and she's going to have to drag people into the help her. But no, right away, Control jumps them. Bianca comes out to make the save. They're really doing a lot with Control. I mean, right away, they have now established a faction in the women's division, which is a really, really good thing. They've established I don't want to say a friendship, but certainly a camaraderie with Bianca Belair, Asuka, and Alexa Bliss. And there's already more storyline in the women's division in one episode than there was in a few weeks worth of episodes. Now, normally I would say, yeah, what a rip off, you don't get a winner. But if this is what they wanted to accomplish, is to basically just say, this is going to be a clean match. They both like each other. They both respect each other. And Control screwed it up. I'm okay with it. It's a good way to get everybody on the same page. And truthfully, if you're going to give me Control versus Asuka, Alexa Bliss, and Bianca Belair. I'll take that match, Mike. That doesn't sound bad at all.
I'll take that match as well. And look, think about this. We've talked about what could happen with Asuka and what we'd like to see. And if we're headed toward, yeah, we got control versus those three, but if we're headed toward a possible match between Asuka and Io Shirai, or Io Sky, or whatever you want to call her, I'm all for it.
Yeah, me too, and you know that's coming. You know that's got to be coming. And I just wonder if they're going to play up any of that at all, or they're just going to try to, you know, sweep that under the rug. But an okay match, and really the only purpose it served, Todd, is to get Bianca Belair on the same page with a couple of allies.
I mean, absolutely right there, like you said, with this whole thing with Bailey, Io Sky, or why, I don't know why they changed her name for, and Dakota Kai. Like you said, I think this is like, this is pretty cool to see Bailey back on TV after how long she's been off TV? Like a year?
Well over a year. Yeah, and then while, you know, listen, would I prefer to bring her back as a face? Yes, probably. But if you're going to do this much with her, that's fine. Once again, when we pick on things on this show, folks, if it's really just a matter of opinion, then that's all it is. The reason I get mad is when I say, not only did you not give the fans what they want, but you did nothing with it, like Becky Lynch turning heel. Meant zero. It meant zero overall. So it was a dumb move from the get-go. This is not a dumb move. I think Bailey would have been hugely popular as a face, but if this is the vehicle you're going to use to bring Io Sky and Dakota Kai in and have a really strong women's faction, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. So that leads to Bianca Belair challenging one of them and Io Sky accepting, and that is obviously for later. But right now we get Tommaso Ciampa against Chad Gable against Dolph Ziggler. Well, we all knew Dolph Ziggler wasn't winning, and we all knew Chad Gable wasn't winning. So we already knew Tommaso Ciampa was winning. However, we know Tommaso Ciampa's Triple H's boy. And, man, did you see it last night. Because he let Ciampa loose to do the things he normally did in NXT. This felt very much like an NXT match. He also let Chad Gable and Dolph Ziggler lose to do what they're going to do. It was nice, though, to see Chad Gable respected enough to say you're in a match where you possibly could be going for the U.S. Championship. And also Dolph Ziggler. And none of them looked like jabronis. None of them were made to look bad. They all had their moments. They all looked tough. So you've already elevated Chad Gable a little bit. You've already elevated Dolph Ziggler a little bit, even though we know Ciampa was winning. And unfortunately, when Ciampa does win, we know who's winning the follow-up match to that, because you're not going to get AJ Styles against Bobby Lashley for the U.S. Championship, because while I'd much rather see it, they are trying really hard to push Lashley as a face, and putting him in with AJ Styles is not going to help. Because I'm guaranteeing you a large percentage of people are going to be rooting for AJ Styles. So we knew that wasn't good. Now, The Miz helping out, you know, of course, that's going to lead to something. I see right away that allied thing is going to break down. Might break down next week. But nonetheless, The Miz helping him at ringside is a good idea for now. Ciampa looked better than he has when he just looked like a buffoon for the past few weeks. So right away now we see that the new era tends to want to accentuate some of their talent. And we saw it with Chad Gable. We saw it with Dolph Ziggler. And we certainly saw it with Ciampa, Mike.
Yeah. Frankly, what I was expecting to happen didn't happen. And what I was expecting to happen was somehow Theory to come in and have something to do with that match. Because Dolph Ziggler has always been done some with Theory. So, I mean, it was a great match. It was a really good match, but they didn't give me what I was. I guess it's a swerve, but they didn't give me what I was expecting in that thing, being that Dolph Ziggler was in the match, right?
Yeah, I sort of was waiting for something like that too, but all right, so it doesn't happen. I'm okay with it. I guess they wanted to make it, you know, a little more of a cleaner victory for Ciampa, considering what was going to happen later. Todd, what's your thoughts on the match?
I thought it was pretty good as well, but it would have been, like you said, that match, nobody didn't look like jabronis as jobbers. Look like solid wrestlers in that match as well, you know. Well, like you said, it was a pretty good match.
Yes, yeah, so far Raw's, you know, cranking along pretty well. We then get Bianca Belair versus Io Sky. Wow, I said it right. And I'm going to be very honest with you. I like Io Sky. This was not her best match. And unfortunately, it should have been. This is one of those that it should have been like a wow, jaw-dropping, whatever. She looked a little slow. She clearly missed at least two moves, including a slap of Bianca on the top rope, which the announcers literally had to address because she missed her. And it just didn't feel all that powerful. She didn't look like someone who you're like, whoa, she's somebody to contend with. She looked like somebody who is going to be third best on this team. That's kind of what it looks like to me. Nonetheless, decent match. Of course, it breaks down. We knew it was going to, you know, we kind of knew that was going to happen. Ends in a no contest, but that's okay. That's okay. It just furthers the feud a little bit. I just wish Io Sky had stepped up a little and showed a little bit more. This is not the time to be missing moves. This is not the time to look sluggish. This was your moment. And unfortunately, you did look a little sluggish. We'll see what comes of that. But, Mike, at least the ending was good. Everybody brawling. It was kind of fun to see. And again, it's really put the women in the spotlight a lot more than anything that was going on previously.
Absolutely. And like I said, yeah, she looked, you know, bad. Not bad, but sluggish and stuff. But I kind of give her a pass on this thing because they're just bringing her back, right?
Yep.
I mean, she's been gone. I don't know if she's been doing anything in the last few weeks. Since they cut her, you know, just like what's her name, Dakota Kai, but I don't know if Io Shirai or Sky, whatever you want to call her, has been doing anything in particular. So I'm going to excuse her for looking sluggish because, you know, they just brought her back, right?
Yeah, I mean, I can excuse her for being slow and looking a little sluggish. I don't excuse her for missing a move completely. I mean, you can't do it. I'm sorry. If that sounds hard, it's one thing if it's a really tough move and you say, oh, well, I didn't quite get the move the way I wanted to. If you miss somebody completely with a punch or a slap, what are you thinking? They're sitting right there. There's really no excuse for that. And then she has to sell it, which makes it look worse. And then the announcers have to say, well, I don't really think she got her too much, but apparently she got her enough. No, she didn't get her. And we all saw it. And that's inexcusable, especially if they've just given you a big part in a big faction that's going to have a big part of a show. You got to touch her at least, my God. You know, all I hear is, oh, there's a rough women's division in Japan and in the Orient. Well, then step up and do something. You wouldn't see Asuka make that mistake. It's one thing to miss a move. It's another thing to just totally miss a person with a punch. I mean, not even come close. So I was a little disgruntled by that. But, you know, the brawl picked it up. Oscar's good at these things, by the way. Oscar's, it's a strange thing because Oscar's like a technical wrestler, sort of. A lot of submissions and a lot of strikes. But when shit breaks down and it's just a brawl, she's actually really good at that. She actually looks like the person you don't want to get in the brawl with. And she seems to enjoy it, by the way. So I'm looking forward to this. I think, and Alexa Bliss is kind of the same way, so I'm sort of looking forward to seeing this and seeing what's going to come of it. Anyway, Tommaso Ciampa against, well, first we get Edge coming back. And, yeah, he did the right thing, and he said, look, I've been sort of an asshole last couple of months. And I really formed the Judgment Day because I wanted to see if I could take people who are being underutilized and put them under my wing and give them the benefit of my 30 years of experience. No, that's – whoever wrote that, you suck. Giving them the benefit of your 30 years of experience doesn't mean you put a chair over AJ Styles' head and repeatedly hammer it, trying to end his career. It doesn't mean you all dress like a cultish whatever and come out and triple jump people. That's the benefit of your 30 years of experience? What he should have said and what should have been written for him to say was, I got to the point where I know I'm getting close to the end of my career. And I wanted that one big moment. One more big moment. And I guess I got desperate. And I did some things I'm not proud of. But at the end of the day, I thought I was creating a stable, a faction that would live on with or without me, which they did. But inadvertently, they did something else. They created my one big moment. Because whether this is the last run I have or not, I'm destroying Judgment Day. And that's going to be my one big moment. That way, at least people say, okay, I get it. He went a little crazy. He's getting older. He wanted another big moment. He did things he wasn't proud of. But to just say, yeah, I was an asshole. Anyway, on to the next thing. That don't work for me. I don't think that was well written. You have to address it more and explain. I went a little crazy because. Now, the news with the Judgment Day is that Finn Balor supposedly said he's very unhappy with the WWE because he's the guy who's always at TV and he's the guy who's always at the gatherings and he didn't even get a match at WrestleMania two nights. Here's the problem with Finn Balor. I know he's got a lot of fans. I argue with his fans all the time. Finn Balor is a great athlete. He's not a very popular wrestler. I'm sorry, he's not. If you don't believe me that Finn Balor is not super popular, yeah, the crowd likes to go, whoa, because it's fun, just like they did with Glorious. But he's not that interesting. Walk into any Walmart, you'll see like 800 million Finn Balors hanging on the shelf in the action figure section. Nobody wants it because he's not interesting. People aren't like, oh, Finn Balor, go try to find a Fiend one. You won't find one. Because the first one snatched off the shelves and stuff. His merchandise isn't flying off the shelf. And then I had some guy saying, well, you got to understand. And Finn Balor says, I want greater creative control over my demon character. Yeah, I know. You want to be invincible. But you're 5'7", and you're 170 pounds, and you're not going to be invincible. And for people to say, well, he's supposed to be demon-possessed, so, okay, well, then show me that then. If you want to make that legit, which, by the way, is not supposed to be demon-possessed. He said, I put on the paint because it's traditional Irish myth, and it psychs me up. That's what he said. But if you want to say he's demon-possessed, then show me. Show me how, you know, when he gets in the ring with a bigger guy, but he's the demon, he can throw him across the ring. Show me that. Show me that for whatever reason, this little guy all of a sudden is uber-powerful because he's demon-possessed, and maybe I can buy it. But when he gets in the ring with the paint on and does the exact same moves in the exact same order that Finn Balor always does, what makes the demon character special? Nothing. The entrance? Not good enough. Not that interesting. I'm sorry. He's just not. So, I mean, his place really probably was in NXT, where it was all just really about the wrestling and nothing else, because him being a part of this Judgment Day thing is not working. Rhea Ripley's doing a great job. Damian Priest is doing his normal, just whatever he does to get by. But Finn is not. So anyway, that was the Edge speech, Mike. I think that fell a little short.
Yeah, I think it fell a little short, too. And that, you're right about Finn Balor. I mean, look, when they were taking the whole Alexa Bliss thing over the edge, right, and she's making lighting fixtures fall down, you bought it, right? Because
right.
She's supposed to be. They played her as supernatural. They played her as having these powers, and well, they showed it, you know, by having the light fixtures, you know, fall on people. Right? That's how you do that. That's how that type of thing is supposed to be handled. Not the way that Finn's handling it. No, the way they handled Alexa Bliss back then.
Yeah, Finn Balor, again, if you wanted to show me and had been showing me all along that when he gets into these certain situations and he comes out as the demon, he's much more powerful. He's much more, you know, whatever. He has a different moveset. He has some different finishers, whatever. Fine. But you did not do that at all. And then you had Finn Balor get on national television and say, I put on the paint to psych myself up. Not that I'm demon-possessed, not that I'm a supernatural creature. I do it to psych myself up. So there goes that theory. No pun intended. So, you know, listen, I don't think there's anything special about him. It's just me. I think Edge fell short this week on the – Edge probably through no fault of his own, but I think he fell short this week with the speech. I think he should have been a little more recalcitrant and addressed the fact that he did some horrible things and that he went a little bit crazy. And he also should have said, and listen, if you're a good writer and you can't come up with this, you changed his entrance to you think you know me, you never did, right? Basically, he was telling the fans, this is the real me, and you never, ever, ever knew the real me. I was bluffing all along. This is the real me. Then you come back a month later and be like, oh, sorry, my bad. No. He should have addressed that and said, you know, I came out here saying you guys never knew me at all. Truth is, you knew me better than I knew myself. The truth is, you saw through this. The truth is, you saw a guy desperate for his one big last moment, and I was too stupid to do it. So thanks to Finn Balor and Damian Priest for waking me up and realizing that it was you guys who really did know me all along, and it was me who didn't know myself. That's good writing. That's how you get it done. But unfortunately, Mike, they can't think of these things.
Right, and kind of makes you wonder. I mean, generally speaking, when you write, you're writing for weeks ahead, right? So,
yeah.
You know, I'm kind of wondering if this was written before Triple H and Stephanie took over. Because if Triple H had written this, it would have been, I think, if Triple H or Stephanie had written this, basically Triple H, It wouldn't have been this, particularly if...
I don't know. I'm not willing to give him that. I'm not willing to give him that because all he has to do is take a look at it and say, no, we're changing it. Well, that's what I would have done. If I'm in that situation and I'm now the head of creative and you hand me that, I'm going to say, oh, no, this isn't deep enough. We got to go a little bit deeper for them to really forgive him and for him to really get rooted for. He has to be more recalcitrant than this. He has to come out and say, I was a desperate man. I did desperate things because every day I felt like this could be my last match. And I wanted to leave a legacy. I wanted to leave something behind. And I thought I was doing that because I thought I knew me better than all you guys did all these years. And I'm an idiot because I didn't. And you did. You know who the real Edge is. And now I do too. That's easy. I just thought of it in 10 seconds. How easy is that? You can't think of that? And if you don't have that in the script, you can't say, well, come on, guys. Let's make it a little more recalcitrant than that. No. Just come out and say, I was an asshole anyway. Now that you all like me again. Becky Lynch kind of did that too. Well, you know, I had my problems and I went a little haywire, but I'm back. I would have liked to see her go a little deeper into it too, but hers was better. Anyway, we get to the main event, which is, Ciampa beat AJ Styles, obviously, with a little help from The Miz, a lot of help from The Miz. My only problem with that is this. Do I think Ciampa has a chance at all of beating Bobby Lashley? Hell no. So now I'm thinking, why did Triple H do this? I know there's some people saying, you wait and see, Ciampa's going to beat him. He's not beating him. He's not beating him. I think The Miz is going to cost him the match, quite frankly. I think that's going to be the dust-up. They've just put this belt on Bobby Lashley. He's beaten some top guys. They're not giving it to Ciampa. They're not. So the loss has to mean something, and the loss is going to probably mean something because The Miz is going to cost it. And Ciampa's going to say, you did that on purpose because you're jealous. That's probably where that's heading. Anyway. The Usos against the Mysterios. And once again, I just say to myself, yes, it's the same people in the ring. But there's a different feel. Rey and Dominic did more and looked better than I've seen them look in a long time. There was at least 1 minute there when I said, Jesus Christ, they're going to give them the belts. I really, really thought. There was a moment where Dominic was climbing up and I said, Jesus Christ, they're going to give it to him. Which would have made my jaw drop. But I thought, well, maybe with Rey in there for 20 years and stuff, maybe they are going to give him one more run. But no. A very good match. And yes, of course, Judgment Day comes down. Edge makes the save. But here's the thing I like the best. Edge makes the save, but then accidentally gets Dominic. Or is it accidental? It looked accidental. It looked like Rhea Ripley kind of pushed him out of the way, pushed Dominic in the way. But it's interesting. It's definitely interesting. It's a branch on a tree. Because if they're bringing Edge back to bluff the crowd, see, this is what made me think maybe I'm wrong. They wouldn't have wanted him to say what I said he should say if this is a bluff. If when push comes to shove, Edge is right back as the top guy in Judgment Day, and this is all just a big bluff and a big swerve, then what he said was fine. And it is possible because they got to know Finn Balor ain't working. They got to know it. There's one person there. Damian Priest looks the part, but on the microphone, no. Rhea Ripley's working out well in this. Rhea Ripley somehow is managing to look like the leader. And the gimmick to this whole thing is there's no guy who's going to deck her. So you already know that at some point a girl is coming forward. I suggest it might be Beth Phoenix if Edge stays on the face side. Because Beth Phoenix, as you know, is a pretty big woman. And, of course, Rhea Ripley's a pretty big woman. That would make sense. But you know that's coming because Rhea always is the one who gets the Judgment Day out of the jam that they're in, and nobody dares touch her because she's a woman. So I think that's coming, Mike.
I know that's coming, and really, if you look at it, basically, Beth has all but disappeared from NXT. So yep. That should tell you something. That should tell you that something's up, that she's training or doing something to get ready to do something, right? So, yeah, that's – and did you catch – before the before that match happened, did you catch Ray's promo before the match?
Yes.
And the new look for the new look for Dominic.
Yep, all of which was very good. Yeah, and again, they looked better, Mike, than I've seen them look as a tag team in a while. It seemed like they, again, it seemed like they took some of the chains off and said, "Go ahead and just, you know, air it out a little bit."
And there's still a definite through storyline to be told with the Mysterios. You know, I don't know how much longer Ray's going to want to wrestle, but we know what the storyline is with the Mysterios.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Now, in all honesty, I'm not into this Judgment Day angle that much because I'm just not into the Judgment Day. I don't see them as a tough faction. I don't even see them. I just see them as a tag team, really, with Rhea Ripley kind of managing them. And it's just not working. It's not what it was. So I'm not really into that feud. Here's what I was into on this Monday Night Raw. Better use of your talent. You had Ali in there in that three-way that meant something. You had Chad Gable in that three-way that meant something, along with Ziggler. You elevated Ciampa. You started a really good faction, and then the opposition for that faction, giving people something really good to do, including Alexa Bliss, including Asuka, who really needed something to do. Now, this is probably going to mean that Alexa Bliss isn't going to do that supernatural character anytime soon, but I got news. You still could if push came to shove, and that would be a pretty interesting thing, too. So there's a lot going on now. I felt like this was a busier show, even though it was less busy. You had less matches. You had less people really on the card, but it felt busier. It felt like there was more to it. It was more cohesive. And it led you to say, I see a ongoing storylines that are actually, like I said, cohesive and you can look forward to. That's a plus. And if Vince Russo thinks that has nothing to do with Vince McMahon leaving, listen, I'm a huge Vince McMahon fan. I think he's being railroaded into a lot of this crapola. Totally railroaded. I'm not saying he didn't do it, but what did he do? Have an affair? Big freaking deal he had an affair. Prove to me he forced anybody. Not one person's come forward with one iota of proof. Every single person was, well, we had an affair and he paid me not to say anything. Okay, he paid you out of company money. That's a problem. That doesn't make him the most evil person in the world. That makes him conniving and taking money from his own business. So I'm a Vince McMahon fan, but I'm not blind, and I'm telling you that some of the things that happened last night vis-a-vis talent, maybe not the business itself, but as talent, I see the difference. Longer matches, matches that are more involved, handcuffs sort of being taken off, and I see moves that I don't know if Vince would have let happen. A more competitive fights where you say, okay, well, this guy would normally get squashed, but man, he's right in there with him now. So, you know, you made Chad Gable look good. You made Ali look good. You made Ziggler look good. The Mysterios almost beat the Usos, which makes them look like they're still top guys. There was a lot going on that helped with the undercard, and even not the undercard, even people that you just underutilized. So it felt busier. It felt more cohesive. And to be honest, it felt more like wrestling. So overall, I'm pretty happy with it. There was a couple of things that, you know, I would have done differently. The Edge speech is one of them, certainly. I probably would have put a couple of different people in those matches because we already know that Ciampa's not winning. If you wanted Ciampa elevated, you easily could have had him fight, you know, whoever, Dolph Ziggler or whoever, and elevate him that way. I'm not sure putting him against Bobby Lashley is the ticket unless this is his way of turning on The Miz or The Miz turning on him, whatever. We'll see. But at least there's branches on the tree now. At least I'm seeing talent utilized. No, not everyone was on the show. That's a good thing. It's not to the extent of AEW where you're like, you're not going to see him for months. But sometimes you have to focus on the stories that are happening or the stories you're creating. And if that puts a person out for a couple of weeks, okay. Throw them in the mix somewhere else. But right now it feels a little better. I took a look at this Raw and I said, I'm beginning to see signs that we're going to see more entertaining matches. That's the number one thing. Some of the matches that were on Raw were almost like an afterthought. It's like, well, just go out there and you got 6 minutes. Just do a couple things and get out of there. You're winning, you're losing, that's it. Whereas this week I saw go out there and be competitive, really give the crowd a good show. Show them what you can do. You know what that's going to do to some of these workers? That's going to make these workers say, well, I get the best of both worlds. I don't have to go super nutso and do 25 minutes. But I can show some of my talent. At the same time, okay, I'm not the top guy, but I'm being utilized in spots where I'm in an important thing. I'm in a U.S. title three-way dance, contender match. This keeps your talent happy. So I'm beginning to see that, Mike. I'm beginning to see that the goal here is to keep the talent happy by not really making anyone look like they're worthless to the Federation.
Right, and that's the thing. And look, that just because they're not doing the supernatural thing with Alexa Bliss right now, it doesn't mean they can't somehow work it into this whole thing that they're doing with the with Bayley's group. You know, I mean, can you imagine if, oh, you know, you're wrestling Io Sky, you know. Alexa Bliss is wrestling Io Sky, and all of a sudden, you know, a lighting fixture, or Io Sky is on the top rope trying to do one of the flying moves, and the top rope breaks, you know?
Yeah, I don't think they will, though. I think they're just – I think they've stalled it because we saw last week that Nikki Cross grabbed the doll and nothing happened. It's not really mentioned. She didn't even mention it at all or even come out with it. Did she even come out with Lily this week? I don't think they're going to do it. And I'll tell you why I don't think they're going to do it, because Control is not going to lose their first feud. They may lose an individual match here or there, but I don't think their first feud is going to be a loss. And what I really see happening is possibly waiting for Becky Lynch. In other words, saving their ultimate defeats for a Becky Lynch comeback. So I think maybe this is just the stalling until Becky Lynch is healthy enough to come back. But you're right. I mean, they can introduce it at any time, but I don't see any evidence they're going to. I wish they would, because Alexa Bliss may have hurt herself in a certain respect, and that is she's nowhere near as interesting as she was when she was that character. Yeah, they went too far with it when she's fighting Randy Orton and almost set him on fire and things are falling from the sky. That might have been too much. But when she was just sort of like this bizarre psycho girl who you really didn't know whether she had some kind of weird connection to that doll or the doll had a connection to her or not, she was kind of interesting. Now she's just like another person. So we'll see. We'll see what they do with that. But overall, a much, much stronger show. Not an A-plus show. Io Sky missed a couple of moves. I don't think the Edge speech was all that great. You know, there was a couple of things that I think should have happened that didn't. I'm not necessarily sold on Ciampa and Bobby Lashley, because wait till you see the difference, by the way. See, that's going to be the real startling thing. Bobby Lashley's not the biggest guy on the planet height-wise. I think he's only 6 foot. But he's massive. And Ciampa's kind of short. when he gets in there with Bobby Lashley, it's going to look like he's a midget compared to Bobby Lashley. And I know he's a great wrestler, but that matters. And he's not going to win. So it's not like it's a big main event where you're like, oh, my God, this is going to be something great. So unless that has a storyline, which I presume it does, with The Miz costing him the match, it's not a great main event. But anyway, it was better than it was. It's certainly a better Raw than it was. So I'm going to give this an A-. I think that it's a good start, Mike. And if they continue this, I think people will be happy.
Right. And I'm going to go ahead and give it an A-plus as well. And the fact of the matter is if Triple H and Stephanie, I mean, look, you look at all the people that have been gone from the WWE that were Vince guys that were basically doing some of the writing and booking and stuff like that. You know, Bruce Pritchard and what's his name, Johnny Ace and others that were doing the booking. And if Triple H is heading up the booking team and doing a lot of the writing along with Stephanie, then things are going to change. And basically maybe running something here and there past Vince, but not very much, then things are definitely going to change and change for the better. And you're going to see things like this. I mean, look, the last time they did a three-woman group on the main roster was what? It was the thing they did with Paige, right? And then that kind of flopped because they didn't go whole hog on it. And Paige couldn't get in the ring, but they didn't go whole hog on it, right? It flopped, you know? So
right. You had that thing with Zelina Vega and Carmella and who was it that was in Charlotte for a short period of time, but that never went anywhere. It's a much better than it was. Now, as far as some people are asking me, what about Sasha and Naomi? Yeah, supposedly Triple H is in talks with them. Look, here's the problem. I don't want this to turn into Triple H is going to make all of his buddies into superstars, and the people he doesn't care for too much, he's going to just jabron out, because then it's just a reverse Vince McMahon. I don't want that either. As far as Sasha and Naomi coming back, if they come back, fine. If they don't come back, fine. I personally would not hire Sasha Banks back. I think she was extremely unprofessional. You don't get to walk out because you don't like what you're given. You don't get to do it. So should Finn Balor walk out? Chad Gable walk out because he doesn't like it? Should Otis walk out because he doesn't like it? Makes no sense. Todd, what's your rating this week?
I go with you, the same grade, an A.
Yeah, well, we got an A and an A-minus and an A-plus. We're around the same. Look, it's a better show than it was. Oh, by the way, if you can believe what he's saying, Brock Lesnar said he's not done with the WWE. That I don't know whether that means he had some contractual obligations that are still pending or that he's willing to work with the current regime. I don't know what that means. He just said he's not done with the WWE, Mike, so I expect that we'll see Brock Lesnar again at some point.
Apparently, yes, and that's the thing. And look, with the fact that, you know, we're not going to see very much of Roman Reigns, they need something to draw. I mean, not to say that some of the guys can't draw, but they need something to draw big. You know, and for better or for worse, Brock Lesnar draws.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You can think what you want of him, but Brock Lesnar does draw. And I think the WWE is probably pretty happy that he's decided he's going to do a few more gigs with him. So anyway, let's see what SmackDown brings. We'll be back here Friday for the weekly wrap-up, but I'll be very interested in SmackDown on Friday.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.